Chapter 16. July 1995 to October 1995. Andrew Tay was absurdly tall for a card counter. At 6'5", he towered over everyone else at the table. And if he backspotted his way into a shoe, he almost had a squint to see the cards. It was impossible for him to vanish into a crowd, and he couldn't wander unnoticed through an airport. If someone was looking for him, they'd find him, in a club, in a bar, in a crowded casino. Likewise, Jill and Dylan Taylor stood out in the average Vegas crowd. They were upwardly mobile professionals. Jill was enrolled in the most elite business school in the country, while Dylan drew a six-figure salary from one of the highest-profile advertising agencies in Boston. They traveled like newlyweds, staying in honeymoon suites and eating in five-star restaurants. People remembered them because of her fiery halo of red hair, because of his button-down look and serious manner, because pretty couples stood out in a crowd. And yet, somehow, these three additions enabled the MIT blackjack team to catapult their card counting to a higher dimension. Beginning the weekend of July 4th, 1995, Kevin was assigned the three new recruits as his permanent squad. Mickey Rosa's team was now divided into three separate groups able to work simultaneously, each with three spotters and a BP. Usually split among three different casinos, the teams worked eight-hour shifts, playing as many as 1,500 big-money hands a night. Calculating a profit of up to 10% per hand and an average bet in the $1,000 range, the team was capable of generating $150,000 a night for its investors. On many weekends, the team did much better than that, as they learned to maximize each member's strengths and take advantage of the disparate personalities. Because of his height, Andrew Tay couldn't blend in, but he could signal like no other spotter in the business. Kevin could stand 30 yards away pretending to hover around a roulette wheel or a clamorous game of craps and still have no problem registering a call-in from his towering teammate. And no pit boss in his right mind would ever suspect that the flashy, arrogant Asian kid with the big bankroll had any connection to the sloppily attired, oversized frat boy who'd been playing the minimum all night long. Tay's negatives as a counter had to do with his age, not his size. He was still very much a kid, prone to showing his emotions. He never made mistakes with the cards, but he was notoriously paranoid. He'd signaled that he was getting heat so often that Kevin had to stop taking him seriously.